We come from the net.
Through podcasts.
Through headphones.
Through speakers.
To this place.
Your ears.
Our format? Podcasters.
To watch and review.
To watch the show reboot.
Its episodes, old and new.
To defend you from your boredom.
Some say the listeners live outside the net and listen to podcasts for fun.
No one knows for sure, but we're gonna podcast anyway.
Welcome to Mainframe.
Welcome back, everybody, to Welcome to Mainframe, the podcast about Reboot, the animated series, the very first computer animated series. And I'm your host, Evan David, and with me, as always, is my co-host,
Jay Mitch.
Are we doing that now?
No, okay. I figured just mix it up a little bit.
It's Jay Mitch. That's what we're doing from now on. You have cemented it. You said it once, and so now it is
Control so. Control Z.
All right, so this episode we're doing is called Talent Night, which is one of the more unique episodes in Reboot.
Uh-huh.
It's a famous one. So if you're new to the show, welcome. And we are going to go through the episode plot point by plot point. We'll stop and talk about things as we are interested in them. And we're going to spoil everything. So if you want to watch the show and follow along with us and watch it before you listen to the review and get spoiled, well, then you are going to need to go to shoutfactory.tv or just Google Shout Factory Reboot on Google, and you'll find the entire series there for free to watch legally because they own the rights to the distribution or whatever. So feel free to do that because we're going to spoil everything. So here we go. We're doing the Talent Night episode. Yeah. So we open up and Bob and Enzo are playing a game. And at first I think, oh, this is a user game.
Right.
But it's not.
There's no cube.
Yeah, there's no cube. They're in a recreation. They're a recreation place for computer citizens, the digital residents of Mainframe. And the game they're playing is kind of like it's on a Rubik's Cube sort of thing, and they're using things similar to light cycles.
Yes, it reminded me of Tron.
Yeah, from Tron. Yep, but they're trying to capture a ball because the light cycles have like a suction thing on the front.
Yep,
that comes up, and they can go on the outside of the cube, and then they can flip panels of the cube and go inside the cube
mm-hmm.
as well. And everything is, you know, magnetized to the cube, and it's really similar to the light cycles because when they turn a corner, it's instantaneous. There's no physics. There's no, you know, there's no drift or drag.
Right.
It's just boom. They're turned on a dime. So it was pretty neat. And so they finish their game, and we find out that this outing is a present for Enzo because he's having a birthday. It's his very first birthday.
Yeah, he is 1 year old.
Yes,
apparently.
Or one something.
One. Yeah.
Yeah. We don't know exactly what. They never say. They never say what the time measurement is that they're going by, but he's one. And so he's like, oh, Bob, this is the coolest present I could ever access. I love the computer lingo. So then Bob calls Dot, and she answers with a video messaging app on her tablet. And this is 1994.
Yeah.
Well before any of the practical tablets or video chat were even a thing at all. So it's pretty interesting that...
Coming soon in your future.
Yeah, like, and I'm sure this is not the first time that a digital video tablet has appeared in a thing, but it's interesting how we've had these ideas in pop culture for so long, and then...
They're here.
Yeah. It's like back in the early 1900s when, you know, they're theorizing about, oh, how would we go to space? What would that look like? And they think about it, and they get some of it right. They get some of it wrong. But then in the 60s, they're like, whoa, we're actually doing it. It's pretty interesting.
So in 50 years, we'll have flying cars and
everyone
will live on the moon and Mars. And
well, it's very interesting. And there's a program on, Disney Plus, if you have Disney Plus, it's called Man in Space, And I think there's another one called Moon, to the Moon and Mars or something like that. And it's Walt Disney, because Walt Disney was a visionary and he was a futurist. Mm. And he was very interested in, you know, how technology would progress and things like that. That's why he made Epcot. And he did this whole program in the 1950s about what it would look like to go and travel into space. And he worked with different astrophysicists and engineers and things like that.
Wow.
And and they talk about, you know, what the dream was for space travel a decade before we actually did it. Hmm. And they're not just doing wild science fiction speculation. They're doing, you know, they're like, this is what we have to build. This is what we have to do. And it's fascinating. You should go watch it immediately if you're interested in that sort
What's
of thing.
What's called again?
Man in Space.
Man in Space.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's fascinating because you can see just like, wow, they got a lot right. You know, they're just all working with numbers and paper, you know. And
wow.
Yeah. It's very interesting. But then there's also a part in it, and I don't know. No, this other part was that there's another special called Our Friend the Atom, because it's before they really knew about the harmful effects of radiation, atomic energy and stuff.
Right.
And so Walt Disney was convinced that, like, oh, nuclear power, this is the future. You know, like, it's clean energy that, you know, will just is producing this amazing output. And so there's this guy who's opening the program, and he's at a desk, and he picks up this rock, and he's like, this is uranium. He's just picking it up with his fingers and wow. Touching it. And I'm like, well, he's going to die. Uh-huh. It's before, I guess, they knew the harmful effects.
Of radiation.
He just got it on his desk. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We're talking about a reboot. All I was talking about was Dot's tablet.
So, Back to the Future.
Yeah, so anyway, she's...
Plutonium, go.
She is planning a talent show or a just a show for Enzo's birthday.
But they're doing auditions.
Yeah, they're doing auditions because it's going to be a surprise, but they don't have any talent yet. And so everybody and their brother from Mainframe is going to try out for the show. Another thing that is in this episode is Dot's partner for the show, which is a program sensor.
Yeah.
And this is poking fun at the actual program sensors that were censoring Reboot, because they wanted to add things like more violence or more, they wanted to make Dot's figure more figury,
feminine.
Yeah. And the sensory people were, you know, they're like, nope, 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 can't do it. Nope, nope, nope.
Okay.
Nope,
nope. I was curious. That's interesting.
Yes. Yes. And so, this is a poking fun at that, because this lady is shooting down all the acts that Dot likes. She's like, oh, that's the one. That's the best idea. And she's like, nope, we're not doing it. So they're poking fun at that. And this was something that, not just Reboot, but lots of kids shows at the time. Like the one I know most about is Batman, the Animated Series. They wanted to do more things in that, and they just kept running up against the censors. But I actually think that made the show better, because they had to right. find creative ways to get around it and still tell the dramatic story they wanted without just resorting to, it's PG-13 it up, you know, throwing right. some curse words and some blood, and now it's mature. Nope. You have to be more creative than that, and I think the censoring helped that. Okay, so the person conducting the auditions, or the emceeing the auditions, is Mike the TV. And he's introducing everybody. We first start out with the acrobats, and there's a bunch of binomes in green jumpsuits, and they do acrobats, they have like a big seesaw. And I'm going into detail because this is important. They're on this big seesaw, and one of them jumps on one end and launches the other one into the air.
And he doesn't come back.
He doesn't come back.
He's gone.
And Dot's like, yes, this is perfect. And the censor's like, nope, we're not doing it. So this other guy comes on, this circular binome, and he just comes on stage and he starts like squeezing and clenching like he's got a poop. He's like, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then
he's like, thank you. And then
he breaks apart.
Into like five different pieces.
He squeezed himself so hard that he blew up. That was funny. Then these polygon men come up, and they are just like graphically horrible. And it's interesting because I guess this was a thing in earlier you know, computer animated stuff where they're trying to show you what a human would look like or make a human in computer animation. Right. And it looks just really bad. And now in Reboot, they can do it a lot better. But it looks like Virtua Fighter, but worse. It also looks like the very early shorts from Pixar. If you've ever seen those, you can watch those on Disney Plus also. And there's one about a baby. I think it's the tin toy. Hmm. And there's a baby chasing it, and the baby is horrifying. like the toy is fine, he's cute, but the baby is just scary and it looks terrible. and so yeah, that's why they when they did Toy Story, they wanted to make something where they could make it look good with what the technology they had.
Right.
And so everything's got harsh reflections and harsh light on it, and everything looks plastic. So that's why they did Toys.
Nice.
And then that's why they did Bugs next, because they still weren't ready to do humans.
Yeah, they weren't ready for Incredibles or
I think after Bugs Life it was Monsters Inc. So they're still doing like weird stuff because they're not ready to do a lot of human characters.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yep. And that's another reason why this show works so well with that medium, because it's all supposed to be digital anyway. And so this is a very digital looking look with the animation that they're using.
Little plug.
Yeah.
If you want a fun story, look up how Pixar deleted Toy Story 2.
Oh, yes. That's a very fun story. Yes. Because, yeah, we won't go into it here, but yeah, look it up. How Pixar deleted Toy Story 2.
It takes like 5 years to make, and with less than a year to go before the release, it got deleted.
The whole movie.
They just watched it delete from their eyes with no backups.
Yep.
It's great.
Yeah. Check it out. All right. So then, the guide... Those guys come out. They're like really bad looking polygon men.
Get off the stage.
And Mike is happy because he gets to pull the lever and drop heavy sandbags directly on these people's heads.
As people are pelting them with like sandwiches and fruit and whatever.
Yep. And then it's a stand-up comedy act. It's Johnny O'Binome. But
and he's just saying code.
Yeah, he's speaking. He's speaking in binary. 0100 1001, and he's using inflections, and he's making interesting hand gestures while he's doing this. And then he finishes his joke, and everybody laughs, and Dot's laughing. She's like, "This is the guy. We got to put him in." And the censor's like, "There's going to be children in the audience, so I don't know what he's saying." And I'm very curious to know if that was actually a thing. Like, right. If the code actually spelled out something.
Yeah, I have no idea. I have to ask a developer friend about that. But, yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Okay, so then Al's waiter comes out, you know, from Al's diner. What? And he doesn't get to... We still don't get to see Al. And he doesn't get to do whatever he was doing. It looked like he was on, like, a bicycle that played organ music.
Yeah.
Or something. It was unclear. It was unclear weird. Of what he was going to do. Then a really disturbing act where this clown comes out and he's doing live null juggling. And as we know from previous episodes, nulls are those little sluggy things that people get turned into when they are nullified by a game. So these are deformed, desperate people who have been turning to slugs, and this guy's juggling them for fun
and then making balloon animals out of them.
Yes, he made balloon animals out of them. He made like a dog out of one, and then he tied like 15 together and made a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And as he's doing this, they're all screaming horrible slug screams. And everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, this is horrible. This is so horrible."
As the brontosaurus long neck falls over, and it's like, sounds like it's leaking air from a balloon, but it's really them screaming.
Yes. And when he came out, Dot's like, "I thought this was banned." You know, live null juggling. Apparently it was a thing. It ran rampant through the city, and they had to shut it down with legislation.
Wow.
I'm extrapolating, but that's what I imagine happened. So then after that, we're finding out that Megabyte has noticed the commotion downtown, and he is concerned about this. And so he sends out his spies to find out what exactly is going on and why wasn't he invited.
What a grand celebration.
Yes. And so
Maleficent.
Then we return back to Bob and Enzo. and they are playing the soccer game from Final Fantasy X.
Oh, really?
this came out before Final Fantasy X, but it's the same thing. But in layman's terms, this one is, it's not so much soccer, it's air hockey with vacuums.
Okay, yeah. That, yeah.
Literal air hockey, because they're flying in the air.
Yes.
And they're, you know, they're sucking up the stuff and shooting it back to try to score a goal. And so in the middle of this game, Megabyte calls Bob. And Bob's like, what is the celebration going on? What is Dot planning? And of course, this is supposed to be a surprise party for Enzo. And so Bob's like, oh, Megabyte's going to spoil the surprise. So he takes Enzo and shoves him into the goal.
He gets sucked up.
He gets sucked up a pipe or something. We don't know what happened to Enzo. He's just trying to stop him from hearing about the surprise party. And so then Bob's like, you go away, Megabyte, you know, we're doing stuff. Can't you see we're in the middle of the game? And Megabyte's, well, we'll see who's playing what by the end of the cycle, which sounds very menacing. But as we'll find out, it means something different.
It's a battle.
So then it's Fong's turn to audition. He gets up and begins to sing Unforgettable by Nat King Cole. Except it's not really singing. He only gets the first word out. He's like, unforgettable. I cannot remember what is next. He doesn't sing anything else. And he probably did that because they probably didn't have enough money to actually get the rights for the Unforgettable song. But he's only singing one word.
Right.
And you can't prove that was Nat King Cole.
Right.
So then he leaves and falls off the stage.
And they thought he was going to be really good. Like, they were eager anticipation of what Fong was going to do.
Well, he's such a respected member of society. They're so pleased to have him in the show, but he fails. Then, the small town binomes. Now, they come on. Now, what is, if you were to sum up a small town in one word, what would you call it? You'd call it a village. And a binome is a stand-in for a person. And so the small town binomes would translate roughly to village people. And that is who they are.
They do the YMCA.
They are the village people. Yes. And they do the YMCA, except they're not saying YMCA. They are saying BSNP, which is another dig at the sensory people.
Oh, really?
Yeah. BSNP, the Broadcast Standards and Practices Censors. So they're singing a song about the BSNP, and they're singing, they're we like to play in a non-violent way.
Yeah, you can definitely tell it's the YMCA, but they definitely change it enough that they don't have to do copyright.
Right, right.
Or licensing or anything.
Yes, well, but it's clearly the village people also. Right. So you can infer.
But it's low budget enough and not popular enough to have to go through all the channels, I'm sure.
So then the Fab Primitives shapes come on, and they are a circle, a square, and or a sphere, a cube, and a pyramid, and they are primitive shapes, and that's why they're called the Fab Primitives, and they are also the same colors and shapes that were in EA Games logo at the time.
Challenge everything.
Yes, and let's see, there's one other thing. I'm looking at the notes here from Wikipedia because there's so much crammed into this episode. Yes, okay, so their act was parodying the song Money for Nothing, which was the first computer animated music video ever, which was also animated by Mainframe, the same people who did Reboot.
There you go.
So many references, so many self-wrench referential.
Literally referential. All this whole episode is.
Yeah, yes. Speaking of which, the next act is Captain Quark, which is Captain Kirk, because he's speaking just like William Shatner. And he comes out, and it's apparently he's supposed to be singing, but he's not really. He's doing poetry, but the poetry he's singing is Elton John's Rocket Man, which of course is because he Captain Kirk goes out in a spaceship and stuff. But he's speaking like William Shatner, so he's pausing after every thing he says, and he's. Yeah, the famous way Captain Kirk talks. When he's done, he takes a bow, his toupee falls off, and he is energized and beamed up to this some starship somewhere. So they're really just gone full bore on, you know, like, we want you to get this reference,
right?
And you will. He was also wearing elevator shoes, so I don't know if that's a dig at how short William Shatner is. It could be. Anyway, Megabyte spies go backstage, and they're looking around. But as they're looking around, the curtain lifts, and the whole audience sees them, and they're expected to be the next act. And so all of them leave except for one, who begins to break dance. And... And he breakdances very well. And Dot hates breakdancing. But the censor lady loves it. Yes. So she's like, you are in. You are in the show. Okay. So then Megabyte, they report back to Megabyte. And Megabyte says, all right, it's time for Operation Code 214. And they're like, no, dun, dun, dun. Not Operation 214. That's too much. So we'll find out what that is later. Megabyte, he's musing to himself in his castle. He's like, yes, all those people gathered together at one time, they will never know what hit them. So now Bob is still trying to keep Enzo distracted. They're on the data slide. Enzo is really tired and hungry, and he just wants to leave and go to the diner. But he can't go to the diner because the show is right next to the diner, and he'll surely figure out what's going on. So Bob shoves him down the slide.
And literally just throws him down the slide.
But then Enzo decides to run away. So he gets on one of those little hoverboard things and he runs away. And Dot and Bob's like, oh no, I gotta call Dot and tell her that he's on his way. But before he does, before he can leave, the acrobat from the beginning of the episode finally lands.
That's what that was. I'm like, Bob catches him. What in the world?
Bob catches him at the top of the slide. Oh, so funny. It's like the one Bob was running with that pole.
Doesn't stop.
Yeah. Oh, so funny. So then it's time for an Elvis binome to go, but before he does, Enzo walks onto the stage and he is surprised. And there's a countdown going, and the countdown finishes, and that's when Enzo gets upgraded.
Yep.
And I think his shirt changes. Bless you.
Thank you.
So he gets upgraded. He's now one something old, and it's his first birthday, and he's been upgraded. So. And Bob says, oh, he's compiling up before our very eyes. Then the show starts, and Dot becomes a lounge singer. She dons a sensual dress.
Red dress.
It's not so sensual, but it's got a high seam coming up the leg. And but
she's very suggestive with Bob.
She's singing a song, and the song is called... Alphanumeric, which is great because it's Enzo's theme song. So she's singing it about her little brother and she's so happy. But then she goes and starts flirting with Bob.
And then shoves his face away.
Getting up to him like she's going to kiss him and he's closed his eyes and puckered. Then she pushes him away. One thing I did notice in this during the show is that we look at the crowd and it's a big crowd shot. But... That's a lot of rendering power.
Right.
So what they did is they rendered a GIF of the crowd and then just copy and pasted that GIF over and over and over again as rows of people instead of actually putting the models into the environment.
So nice.
Pretty interesting. So then the show's going on, but Megabyte invades.
Da, da, da.
That's right. It's time for Operation Code 214. Which is, he invades with all his tanks, and instead of powering up laser cannons, they power up gigantic speakers and a drum set, and then a coffin comes out, and inside the coffin is Megabyte, who emerges with a electric guitar and begins to rock everyone's faces off. But it's too loud and too sick, so then Bob comes in, and he turns Glitch into the BFG. Which is the name of his guitar. It's also a reference to the biggest gun in the game, Doom. And we're not going to talk about what the F stands for. This is a children's show, I guess. I mean, first we had the mouse camera angle stuff, and now we've got the Dot singing, and we've got the BFG.
And now we have Battle of the Bands.
Yes, so then it's Bob versus Megabyte in dueling electric guitar solos. And so they're fighting, and they're going back and forth, and Megabyte is swiping his guitar at him, but it's more like, my riffs are so much more awesome than yours. But then by the end, they're both just like into the rock. and they strike the end pose together. And then Megabyte is like, I've always wanted to do that.
And the crowd goes wild.
Yep, they love it. And he gives his electric guitar to Enzo as a birthday present and leaves in his stretch limo.
Yeah. And then he's like, and Megabyte has left the building. And then Elvis is like, hey. Yeah.
Because that's what they always used to say to Elvis. Elvis has left the building. Because all the girls would be trying to chase him.
Right.
And they're like, no, it's time for you to go away because Elvis has left the building. So don't be here anymore.
Right.
Yes. So, yep, there it is. Just silly and ridiculous. But I love it.
I'm glad you could catch all those references, because I definitely didn't.
I caught a bunch of them, but I still had to look up those, because I knew they were doing stuff with the sensor thing, but I had to look up to see what specifically they were doing.
Okay.
You know? So, yeah.
Quite an episode.
Fun stuff. Well, we've only got two more in season one, and it's the season finale. It's a two-parter.
So, dun, dun, dun.
We'll be back next time with the start of that. Please write in and tell us your thoughts, or you can email in a voice recording of yourself and we'll put it on the show. And you can do that by listening to our end credits, and we'll give you all the information you need for that. So we'll see you guys next time. I'm Evan David.
And I'm John Mitchell.
Goodbye. Thanks for listening to the Welcome to Mainframe podcast, hosted by Evan David and John Mitchell. You've heard from us, now we'd love to hear from you. Drop us an email or voice message at welcometomainframe@gmail.com. Dare to venture out onto the web and visit our site at welcometomainframe.com. Welcome to Mainframe is a proud member of the Relevant to Your Interests podcast network.